I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is El Ducho, E-L-D-U-C-H-O. And you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as El Ducho Thrift. I'm very excited about this week's guest. I had the pleasure of interviewing my friend, and her name is Ashley. You can find Ashley on Instagram and Poshmark under the username Ashley Wheeler of 8, and all of that information will be in the show notes for you. Ashley is a full-time reseller on multiple platforms, living in Oregon with her husband, and you guys, she's a mom to 8, hence her username. I think Ashley gets all the round of applause for being an amazing mom to 8 kids. That's so great. Ashley has grown her business over the past few years. It's been so exciting to watch as a friend of hers. We met via Instagram and we've had the opportunity to meet in real life. And having this discussion with her today in this episode was so awesome just to get to hear a little bit more about her journey. But without further ado, let's get started. Hi, Ashley. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Hi, Denali. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here. I always say every week, like if I've met the person I'm interviewing, I like to reflect on, you know, like the night before, like how do I know this person? Or mm-hmm. When did I first start talking to this person? I don't know when you and I first started talking necessarily, but I remember the first and last time that I saw you in person, which was at Posh Fest.
Yes, it was. Oh gosh, this seems forever ago now.
I know, but it was only like a year and a month or so ago.
Yeah, it really wasn't. But when you throw 2020 into the mix, it really does change things.
It feels like 20 years ago.
Right.
Like that's been a long 13 months.
Oh, for sure.
I know. Yeah, I got to see you, give you a hug. I got to meet your husband, which was so nice. It's always nice to like finally, you know, the people you see on the internet, see them in real life.
Right.
And then you're like, you're taller than I thought, or you're, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. That's always like the funniest thing that when people say, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, like, you know, out in the wild, like people be like, you're much taller than I thought you were.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially if I wear heels, like it definitely changes things.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, how little did you think I was?
Right.
Thank you. I think it's a compliment.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I'm really excited to have you here to kind of pick your brain and go a little bit deeper, because I feel like we just didn't get enough time to talk with each other again at PoshFest last year. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess to just jump right into it, how and when did you first start reselling, Ashley?
Well, a little back history. So I grew up with a single mom. So man, did I learn how to rock the clearance racks and any sort of deals and things that we could get in the stores. Meanwhile, when I would go visit my dad, I would go to garage sales through the summer, and we would also go thrift shopping. So I feel like I've kind of always been surrounded by really making my money stretch for me. Mm-hmm. Then fast forward, I get married with my husband. He has 5 kids from a previous marriage. And then we quickly getting married, end up having a child of our own, few years later, we end up with three. So we have a total of 8 kids. Again, us working hard to try to stretch our money, make our money work for us. We've always been very entrepreneur mindset. So in fact, we actually met through a different business venture. So we've kind of always had these different things that we've just done on the side to make some money. And I remember, I think it was about 2017, I had a friend who was on maternity leave, and she had posted on Facebook. She's like, "Hey, if anyone has clothes around their house that they're not like using anymore, I'll buy it from you." And I was like, "Hold up, what? Why do you want my clothing?" And so, of course, like, I gave that to her because I was like, "Well, yeah, I don't want to do a garage sale. This would be so much easier to get rid of some of my younger kiddos' clothing that, you know, is still in great condition, but they grew out of it fast." And when I went to her house, I was like, "What are you doing? Why do you want my clothes?" And she said, "Oh, I'm selling stuff off of Poshmark." And I remember her saying like, "Yeah, I just wanted to clean my house out. After the baby, I was bored." And she's like, "I sold some Bose speakers for like $100. I'm like, "For real? Really?" And so I looked into it. What I really liked about Poshmark was the product, like, display. Everyone was really focused on doing fun flat lays and really giving that boutique vibe. And I was actually at the time working as a marketing manager at a gym out of town. And so I was really getting into just having fun with photography again and videography. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw what Poshmark was doing, I was like, "This is kind of fun. I could do this off to the side because I love having hobbies, but boy, I really appreciate when those hobbies like generate an income of some sort and I don't feel like it's taking time away from my family." So I started to do that just kind of for fun. At that point, I ended up with a pretty big transition in my life. My grandma's health was really declining. I had just had our third child, and I was working out of town. Loved my job. It was like the career that I would go like to retirement with. And I really started to think about like, okay, my mom is trying to manage a daycare, manage my grandma. My younger brother has juvenile diabetes. And I was like, "Well, maybe I can take my lunch breaks, drive home, help my grandma with doctor's appointments." And like, this is an hour and a half commute. And I was like, "And then I can go back and finish working." And I like stopped myself in that moment and was like, "Do you hear yourself, Ashley? Like, this isn't going to work." And so I ended up finding something in our town where we live and where my mom is to just do it part-time. It was a pay cut, but I was like, I need to be closer to take care of my family. And it was a really tough decision, but I remember looking at my husband going like, "I need a creative outlet. I have got to keep doing Poshmark because I just flourished when I was doing that job." So that was 2017. I really got to have fun with the rest of our kids' clothing because they still were growing out of them so fast. We had a couple kids that left the home and there was still clothing at home. So I was like, I'll just use our own stuff. And in that first year, I made like $1,000 just selling our own clothing. So about that point, it was 2018. I really slowed down with reselling because I kind of got back into like work mode. I ended up going from part-time to full-time at this investment firm that I was working at. And my grandma's health really started to decline at that point. So I was managing, helping with doctor's appointments, managing my own home, managing my work. So reselling kind of went on the back burner for a minute. And then in July of 2018, my grandma passed away. And I remember my husband and I both on like bereavement leave, and it was around like the 4th of July. And we're just looking at each other like, wow, it's been kind of like a tailspin. Like, so much has been going on for so long, and we're just really in that survival mode. And we're like, what are we doing? You know, my husband was working a night shift, so I was hardly seeing him. There was so much that we kind of had that recalibration moment, and we were like, are we going to keep doing this? Is this going to be healthy for our family, for our well-being, for our mental health? And it was that month that, having just been on social media and enjoying, again, my little product placements, and I did it more with like health and makeup on Instagram, but I found a couple people who were doing this thing called reselling. And I saw some people going to like thrift stores and showing some like lives on their stories and saying how they're going to sell it on Poshmark. And I remember going like, what? Like people, because I was just thinking like Poshmark was you had your own used clothing and you sold that and that was that. And people are like making businesses out of it, doing it like part-time, looking at doing it full-time. And I remember just reaching out to like several people going like, are you seriously making a full-time income off of this? Like, could you just please say yes? Like, I was like, are you really? Like, it blew my mind. I have no clue why.
No, I get it. Yeah, I mean the concept of like selling, yeah. No, I get it. I had like the exact same thought as you.
Well, and I think coming
Okay.
from an investment firm background too, I'm like two and two don't equal four in this. Like I'm not jive. Like, please answer my question. I just want to know. And I had enough people that said like, yes, it's absolutely possible. It obviously takes work. You have to know the resale versus retail values because it's much different. And I remember like that same month, so my husband ended up finding another job that was like a day shift, which dramatically changed the lifestyle at home. He could help more with the six kids that we still had at home. And I was like, I could do this on the side. I could find a way. And so I would wash my face at night and I'd have a YouTube video on of people doing hauls. I'd be doing my makeup first thing in the morning. I'd throw on a podcast of people who's doing reselling. And I just consumed. And then I went out and took action. And then I would learn some more and I would, like go to a thrift store. And then my husband and I started having fun. We live in Eastern Oregon and it's actually a really great hotspot for, for traveling purposes. So we could go north, south, east, west, 2.5 hours, and we'll hit places like Spokane, Boise, Portland, Bend. If we wanted to shoot for 5 hours, we could hit Seattle. Like, we're a really great spot to just have a lot of opportunity for us, and it's not uncommon for us to just want to go on a road trip. So we would take like weekends, and kids would go to grandma's, and we'd go hit Spokane and try some other thrift stores. And we just had a lot of fun together. Because my husband comes from a background of flipping cars. In fact, when we first met, he had a Nova that he was driving around, and he actually sold that to get my engagement ring. So
Nice.
it was really cool to see how both we had these skill sets that we came with in our childhood, that we both were able to like find something that we enjoyed doing together, make money for the family, and just have a fun time doing it. So that was, let's see. Oh, that was 2018. And then I began to also try to figure out how to implement the reselling around our life. So I would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start doing some listing before I had to get kids up ready for school, me ready for work. During my lunch breaks, like I'd grab all of the things that sold that day and I would package it through my lunch. I'd drop those off at the post office before I would go grab my kids after work. Saturdays was my typical like photography day. Like I just wanted to make it work because I had so much fun doing it. And come around, I think it was summer of 2019, I really started to get to a good place. And I was, again, kind of at that crossroads of like, what are we wanting to do this long term for? Is it so I can get out of my job? Is it so my husband can have like a little more flexibility in his schedule? Are we always just wanting to do it on the side? That first year that I really hustled part time and did the reselling and worked full time. It helped us like be able to have all the kids go to Disneyland. We flew everyone down there. Like that's a pretty penny when it comes to a trip with six kids. And I was able to do that because of reselling. So we hit that crossroads in 2019, and getting into the school year of 2019, we had a couple of our younger kids that our work schedules and their school schedules were just not jiving. Meanwhile, my preschooler was having meltdowns in the morning saying like, don't leave me at school. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? And because of my work schedule, he was forced to have to be at full time preschool, like all day. And he was the first one to go there 7 o'clock in the morning, last one to get picked up at 5 o'clock at night. And he was just begging me not to leave him. And I was like, I had no idea. He is not like his older brother, who's like, bye mom. And like a little Schlosser butterfly. He was like, he's homey. He wants to be around his family and he doesn't like to be that far apart, but I had no choice. My work was saying like, this is the only way you can do it, that or just pull him out of preschool. And I was like, well, teaching my kid to give up on something doesn't seem right. So I was like, I'm going to need to step down. I was like, I can't work full time and manage my kids' schedules and life right now. So it was such a blessing that reselling had gotten to a place of at least a substantial income that I could go, yeah, I'll step down to part-time, which then transitioned to just being on call whenever the investment firm needed someone to cover, I could just do that. So it allowed me to be there for my kids when they needed it and really began to look at taking reselling on full time. So that was a year ago now. Actually, it was literally right before PoshFest. I had my 2 weeks in at the end of September, and then it was right after that that I went into PoshFest.
Oh, wow. So are you still on call now today?
Yes, I am.
Okay, gotcha. But probably very limited schedule, I'm guessing.
Yeah, very. I mean, maybe like one day a month, maybe a couple days.
Oh,
a
wow.
Quarter. Yeah, it's very minimal because the way that the investment firm is set up, it's an advisor with someone at the front desk. So, I mean, they have vacation that they have to do yearly. It's either a use it or lose it kind of thing. So, and I remember being in that position of needing to like take my kids to a doctor's or needing to take that vacation and not feeling like I had a backup. So I kind of do it now for the sake of that person, because I know their shoes and I'm like, I don't want you to ever feel like, oh, I can't do something that my family needs.
Right. Yeah. When you were talking about dropping your son off at daycare, the one who, you know, said, don't leave me, mom, that resonated with me just when you said that, you know, them being like the first one there in the morning and then the last one picked up. Man, that was totally me with my son. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it doesn't, you know, that's a lot of people, that's a lot of parents' realities, you know, unfortunately. And it kind of sucks,
<It's> so
you know, because it doesn't feel the best. No. You know what I mean? Especially like, I don't know if you ever ran late to do the pickup.
Oh yeah.
You know, when you're like the last one there, right? Like you're already the last one there, but then you're like 5 or 10 minutes late, you know, and they're just like really waiting for you. And you're like, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's tough, but you know, similarly on that note, I think to the listener, I know this about Ashley, but I'm sure a lot of people are probably, you know, shocked to hear eight kids.
Yes.
That's a lot to manage, you know, and expensive, especially when we're talking about being an entrepreneur and going into reselling, which I would argue is highly unpredictable income.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but you know, when you were transitioning into going full time, you know, I guess financially, what were some of the things that you feel like you had to think about it? And I ask you this because there's probably a lot of people who are listening who want to transition into full time and worry about this sort of stuff.
Yeah. Fortunately, as I mentioned, when we first started to, when I learned about the term reselling and I started to treat it like, hey, I'm going to make money from this and take it as a serious like side hustle. Obviously, we had that first year where we were able to take the kids on a trip and really make the most out of that. But beyond that, we actually started to save. And I do also remember taking a look at my store and seeing like, okay, how many actives do I have? What inventory do I have on hand right now? And at that point, I had built it up to about, I think it was like 750 active listings. So I felt like I had substance, but there was still like definitely, I think for my especially coming from an investment firm background, would have wished I had a little more of an emergency fund on hand. But I think at the same breath, like I would never be prepared enough, I feel like.
Right.
So it did still take a risk. I appreciate my kids so much because I think I would still be in that job today because it mm-hmm. just feels risky. It feels scary. It feels like the unknown. And definitely my personality is like type A, black and white, want security, want a consistent paycheck. But at the same time, I've always had that like creative side and wanting to be an entrepreneur and my own boss. And so there's always been that tug of war, but I could never get out of my mind. And like health benefits or just work benefits in general, like, well, that there's security in that and there's not security in reselling. But I do also feel like coming from my investment firm background, I began to realize, no, you can actually own your own business. You can actually create a retirement account for yourself. Like there are still things you can do with that. But there was a risk involved, hands down. I don't think I would have done it had my kids not really shown that they needed me in that time.
Yeah. And I think that that's, you touched on saving and how saving is important before you become a full-time reseller. And I've asked this question to guests in the past before about, you know, how much savings do you think you need? And of course, there's no one size fits all answer for all of us. Mm-hmm. But if you reflected on your own journey, if for you, what do you feel like would have been an ideal amount? Like if we're talking about like, you know, 2 months, 3 months, et cetera, yeah. of
well,
savings.
I know when I started to kind of consider like, do I need more flexibility in my world? Because working this full-time job while, you know, just the health, different things. I also touched on my younger brother having diabetes. There's been times mm-hmm. where he's been life-flighted to Portland and we just have to drop everything. And so continuing wow. to have something that was full-time where it's like, you have to be here at this time and you have to close at this time. I'm like, in my world, that does not work. I need to find something else. And so I had started to talk about real estate with some people, was looking at maybe I should do that. That seems to be a little more flexible. And I remember mm-hmm. talking to someone and they said, make sure, even in that industry, they're like, make sure you yeah. have at least 6 months saved up. And so that always yeah. stuck with me. And I think that would be what I would have hoped to have had, was maybe 6 months savings of what I was taking home ready. But I want to say we had like half of that. So there was definitely, like I said, some risk and a lot of faith involved.
Yeah, no, I get the 6 months sounds like that's like a really great answer. And I think anybody listening to this, like go with that answer. Because, right. Like you said, thinking about real estate, because I'm sure for real estate agents, you know, why they would say that advice is because, I mean, that's 6 months is half of a year mm-hmm. and that's going to cover you. You know, if you say, okay, well, 6 months out of the year, it's going to be a great sales, you know, like you're going to have great sales, right? Like in the good months. And then 6 months, you're going to have potentially bad sales. Yeah. And then your best case scenario is that the whole year is amazing and you just get to keep 6 months of extra income. Right. So yeah. Okay. So when you started, and it roughly sounds like, I mean, was it 2017 or 2016? I'm trying to think back of when you said that.
It was 2017.
Neighbor friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. When your neighbor friend was soliciting clothes in the neighborhood. Right. Is that friend still reselling now?
No, she actually, she's a manager and at a store, and she went back to that after maternity leave. And I think she still loosely does it, but it was mm-hmm. more of, I think, so similar to like when you're about to have a baby and you're just nesting. I think she kind of was in that mode and just really doing it, but she's kind of like me, always really wanting to find different ways to make money. And so she mm-hmm. had done that, but we're still good friends.
Nice. Okay. So, you know, you'd been a thrifter growing up. You were, you know, familiar with going to garage sales because that's something you had done with your family. You know, when you first started selling, you were on Poshmark. Mm-hmm. Had you ever, you know, I mean, the only other big platform that's existed in the past, you know, 20, 25 years was eBay. Had you ever sold on eBay or anywhere else like online prior to Poshmark?
We hadn't in regards to like a reseller platform. Some of our other business ventures, we did e-commerce online. So familiar with that portion, but Poshmark was my first introduction and I stayed on that for quite some time. I did not take a note of that, but by the time I had started to consider full-time reselling, I was already managing both Poshmark and eBay. It was actually the summer right before I had started to cross-list all of my active listings on Poshmark onto eBay.
Okay, the summer before, so would that have been 2018 then?
No, you're right. It was 2019. So it was just the summer.
Oh, 2019.
It was actually the same summer. You're right.
So okay, I've so only 2019 been on
eBay for a year.
Okay, got it. So, you know, what made you decide that you wanted to take on another platform?
I had actually the summer of 2019, I was trying to make more money in reselling. I was like, how do I do it? And I'd reached out to a couple different people on Instagram and was like, I'm looking to try to make this amount before the end of the summer. How do I do that? And one person asked me, they're like, well, what platforms are you on? And I was like, Poshmark. And I think at the time they're like, how many active listings do you have? And I think I wanted to say it was like 500 or something. And they're like, well, first and foremost, you need to get over to eBay. Like literally cross-list everything over to there. And it was one of those moments where eBay felt daunting. It felt intimidating. I didn't really know what to expect. I kind of liked the security again of like the Poshmark. I knew what I was doing. And it was like, when this person said it, it was like, do it now before your emotions have time to respond to what they just told you to do. And at the same time too, I was like, but I'm still working full time. I'm trying to do reselling on the side. And they were like, look into a virtual assistant, like find someone to do that. And so I think it was like the very same day. Fortunately, I do actually take that back. My husband had an eBay account and had sold things prior to us getting together. So he already had an eBay account open. So we used that one because one of the first thresholds on the eBay, once you start an account, was like, you have to have a 90-day like window of having your account opened before they start to look at you as like a viable account. And so we used his account. So it kind of looks like it was like 2016 that we had ours opened, or maybe earlier than that. But we didn't start selling until the summer. And yeah, that's why I ended up doing it.
Okay. So you start selling on eBay and, you know, I'm asking you these questions for anybody who's listening who maybe doesn't sell on eBay and is curious or nervous, you know, what was your experience? I mean, coming from Poshmark, which Poshmark is really great for what it is. I mean, it's very user-friendly, right? You just list an item, you share it, it sells. You slap a label on it. You don't have to weigh it or figure out the packaging. You know what I mean? You could literally put it in a cereal box and ship it off if you wanted. Right.
Right.
But eBay is a little bit different. So what was your experience when you, you know, first started cross-listing?
You know, I
had
just seen a quote recently and I was like, wow, that reminds me so much of my journey with eBay. It was something about, like I started watching a show and I, even though it was slow in the beginning, I kept going because someone told me it was worth it in the end. And I felt like it was a love-hate relationship. And I was very vocal about that for the first few months on eBay because you definitely experience like it. I attribute similar to Craigslist in the sense that it's been around long enough. And so people know how to work the system. And so you do have a lot of like scam sales at first. Like I remember I had like listed something within a few seconds, someone was trying to offer me more, which I didn't even like register. I just accepted the offer only to think later that they sent a message, was trying to take the transaction offline. And I was like, oh, this isn't valid. And then I had to hold it for the time before I could cancel. So that was like my first run with anything. I was like, well, this is fun. But then fortunately, like I had that virtual assistant set up to start taking my items. And this was before I knew there were cross-listing like platforms, third parties that could help with that. We literally, yeah. She like saved the images, copied the description, like brought it over to eBay, helped, you know, grow that description more, because obviously characters in a title on Poshmark is different from on eBay. So she kind of did some right. of that heavy lifting for me to start, and it paid off. That first month, I ended up making more than what I was paying her. And so I was like, okay, there's some validness to this. We can keep going with this. But it did. I felt like then coming into running of returns, I immediately started with no returns because that's what I was used to on Poshmark. And people were running cases saying, well, this item was not as described, and therefore eBay's forcing me to. So I just had, mm-hmm. I felt like I was really trying to drink from a fire hose and learning so much stuff that I just wasn't ready for, but I kept sticking with it. I stayed consistent with listing. I was like, this is gonna get better. And I remember seeing different people posting like their 90-day totals on Instagram, and I was like, I can do this. Like, they're not any different than me. If they can do it, I can do it. Like a lot of life coaching for me. And I do believe that once you get more of an established store, it really does work for itself. I mean, you have to stay consistent with listing. You most certainly want to get better educated with shipping, learn about the policies there. I definitely, once I understood like the item not described is actually something that's like a legal policy, like a platform has to abide by that and allow the person to return it. I was like, oh, okay. So it's not eBay just being a jerk. Like, it's actually a policy. Okay. I can jive with that.
Okay. So something that you mentioned was the returns and how initially you weren't taking returns. Is that something that you've changed? Like, do you now accept returns, or, you know, what's your, you know, because to anybody who doesn't sell on eBay, you can set a lot of your own policies right. on eBay, right? You can set your own shipping policies, you can set your own payment policies. I mean, it's very, you know, you can do what fits right. your business.
So I started to realize they would do a monthly evaluation on my store, and I was getting a lot of high item not as described, but it was people just trying to return the item because it didn't fit right, or it didn't. And I started right. to like had a hard talk with myself and was like, okay, Ashley, you're in the clothing industry. Like, this is a part of business. Like, you should expect mm-hmm. that. And if we have an expectation of good old Amazon, where everyone wants one day shipping, and if it doesn't fit right, they can return it. Like, if I'm going to want to see good success, like, I should start considering some of these things. And so we're working into it. I think I'm at like a 60-day buyer pay shipping kind of thing right now. And but I have seen a dramatic decrease in my item not as described, because if you have too many of those, if it is at a high, you actually do end up getting charged more in a final value fee off of eBay. So it kind of yeah. does work against you if you do have some of those things. And it clearly depends on what type of item you're selling. I mean, primarily ours is clothing and shoes. So I just felt like, for the sake of our business, to see good success and see more green on my reports than red, like, I was going to have to do some of these changes.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying too. Cause right, we are competing with places like Amazon, whether we like it or not, you know, and they have very generous return policies. And like you said, they're shipping out to us. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I order something in the morning and it's there.
It's pretty scary.
Night, it is a little bit. It is pretty scary. It's like I barely thought about buying right? it and it arrives. Okay. So we've talked about eBay. We've talked about Poshmark. Do you sell anywhere else currently, or have you tried other platforms in your reselling career?
So my husband was formerly selling his cars on like Craigslist. And so he had stuff on there before. Obviously we now have like a Facebook mm-hmm. marketplace, which is a little more like upscale from that. And so if we've had any more larger mm-hmm. items, we would try to sell it on Facebook Marketplace first. And that's the only thing that we've really dabbled with. And then when my husband had the cars, he was doing Craigslist.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, Facebook Marketplace is great for really large stuff. That's where I put all the stuff that I'm absolutely. Like, I don't want to ship that.
No.
That doesn't feel fun. you know, in thinking about your business and your workspace, you know, what does that look like for you? Do you have, you know, an office outside the home? And if not, and you have an office inside the home, especially for you, I'm thinking
all the kids,
eight yes. children, plus you and your husband in a house. Now I get that probably not all the children still live there, but there's probably still yeah. a lot of kids that live there.
So it has like? Been kind of interesting in my journey because, I mean, my husband and I have been together for 9 years, almost 10 years now. And so his five mm-hmm. were much younger when we first got together. And when I started in reselling about getting really serious, which was like a year and a half, 2 years ago, we were having that transition with some of the older kids graduating out of high school and going to college or leaving town or getting their own apartment, but just staying in town. And so I felt like about the time that my business would grow enough, like one room would get opened up and I'd end up using the space. Like, I feel so bad. I looked at my husband recently. I was like, our whole downstairs is starting to become like our reseller business. I don't know how I feel about this. So we have like our office room, which was my husband and I both having a desk and doing a lot of our computer work in that area. I have since really helped kind of reorganize that room and put shelves on the back, which a lot of our, so we branched into more than just clothing. We started to do some toys this Christmas. We did just a little more like things we could grab at the clearance areas at, you know, big retailers and tried some of those items. So we keep mm-hmm. all that stuff in that one office. Then there's a room right off of that office. And that's kind of our photography room / where all of our shipping supplies are / there's a whole wall full of shoes. Like, we have the shoe shelves that are like, I think there's four of them that just line yeah. the wall, whole walls, uh-huh. officially shoes. So that's how we keep our shoes. And then there's one other room that's like our, it's been our pantry. We keep a lot of our like different foods downstairs because the temperature stays better versus being in our garage. So we have a little like pantry wall and then mm-hmm. the rest of the room is like totes lined in its clothing. So we have about 1500 mm-hmm. items that are in totes in that one room. So that's kind of, I have consumed three rooms. I feel slightly guilty about that.
That's what happens when you have the reselling business at home. It's just like it eats up a certain area. I'm always so jealous of the people who tell me they have basements in their home. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I would love a basement. You know, I would take over that whole space. Yeah. Like,
the
nobody
only
else
reason
would get
why
to
I
have
don't
it.
Think I've taken up the whole downstairs is we do still have our daughter that has her bedroom down there. And we have, yeah, I want to make sure my husband can kind of claim some area too. Like,
right. You want them to feel like they also live there.
I definitely want to eventually have, we've talked about two different options, either getting an office space that we could take our stuff out of the house and be able to go to. I also feel like that would be a little easier for like our teenage kids who see us home and think that that means we can just talk all day long. I'm like, no, I got to work at some point. Right. I think that would kind of help slightly. Or we've always talked about if we got a house with some land and acreage, we'd love to have a shop and be able, like, that feels like a dream, being able just to walk out of my house mm-hmm. like to a shop and do my work there.
Right. Yeah. That does sound ideal. You know, in thinking about kind of all the different things that you said that you're selling, so you said clothing, you've mm-hmm. got the wall of shoes, you just took on some yeah. toys this past year. You know, do you have a preference of what you like to
my
sell?
My preference is still always clothing and shoes. I think growing up and enjoying fashion, my friends and I always going through fashion magazines, like doing little photo shoots and sleepovers, like that's just always been an enjoyment of mine. And I feel like reselling gave me the opportunity to actually research, you know, brands and really get to learn about it and not feel guilty, because it always felt kind of, went back to my childhood and frugal living and single parents, like I always felt like that was far-fetched, like that was way too ahead, it's too expensive. I'd never be able to have that kind of clothing or purses or whatever. So being in reselling has kind of given me that mm-hmm. opportunity back and not have to pay those, you know, prices. So I think that's still near and dear to my heart, but I also know the skills. I'm really savvy when it comes to the shoes, the clothing, the accessories and purses. My husband has a great eye for going into a retail area, and he'll come home. He's like, I got 20 of this. I'm like, oh God, what did you do? And he's like, no. I looked this up. The comps are good on it. I think they're going to sell. And like 1 week later, they're all sold. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Like sometimes I'm like, we compete really well. And I'm like, dang, you're good at this. Like you have an eye for something that I do not. And I was like, I'll accept it. Like we can merge that into our eBay store.
Wait, so are the items that he's picking up, are they clothing
stuff? One item that he found that it was on clearance, and it was like earmuffs. They were, I guess the way he explained it is when someone's talking, so like if they're talking to someone and both of them have the earmuffs on, yeah. you can hear them clear as day. But then once they go take a shot and you hear that big sound, the earmuffs actually eliminate that sound, so you don't hear it, but you can talk like in whisper to one another, or you could even be like really far away from each other. And he said based on the certain tones, it will it'll mute the sound, mm-hmm. or you can hear it clear as day. And so I think he picked them up for like $8 each, bought like 24 of them, sold them for mm-hmm. I think $39, and they all sold in like a week and a half.
Wow, that's a good flip.
And so that's what I mean. Like he's really good when it comes to like camping gear, or like his former background being in military, being in construction, being in driving truck. There's mm-hmm. just a lot of things that he understands value in that I'm not aware of. And so he can come home with some of these things, and I just have to trust him. I taught you how to do the research, so I'm hoping for this. And sure enough, it'll be the thing that like really supplements our income for that month. And I'm like, okay, we can set aside some money each month to be able to do this. And I've had some pretty good flips in regards to like Legos and stuff like that too. It's just a matter of finding things, because we think about the retailers, they only have so much time that they have to have something in the store. It doesn't mean that what they're trying to clearance off doesn't have value anymore. They just have to get it out of their store. So mm-hmm. we can capitalize on those opportunities, resell them online, you know, so long as we have the space for it, it allows us to be able to generate that income.
Yeah. Going back to, you know, you saying that your husband and his ability to pick out items that you maybe wouldn't be familiar with or think that would sell really well. I think that's one of the really like cool parts about reselling is that, you know, I interview a lot of clothing resellers on this podcast, but the truth is like, there's so many different items that you can resell. And I think that's what's so interesting is that everybody has the specialized knowledge in something. Maybe we don't even, mm-hmm. we're not consciously thinking about it. But, you know, if we came across something in a thrift store, you know, take 10 different random resellers, walk through a thrift store and ask them to find valuable items that aren't clothing brands, you know, I bet we could all come back with some really interesting stuff that we've just, you know, knowledge that we've acquired in our life.
Hands down. I mean, there's an age difference between my husband and I, and even some of the things that he's picked up where he's like, oh, this was like in my childhood, this was a valuable toy, or I grew up with this. Mm-hmm. Like I remember even one time we were at a Benz and he found one of those big like Tonka trucks, and it was orange instead of yellow, which is very common. And he was like, there's something to this. And mm-hmm. he looked it up. We walked away with it for $2. It was a rare truck, and it was heavy duty too. And it was going for like $150, $200 on eBay. And
wow. Yeah, those Tonka trucks can be worth a lot of
you're
money.
Absolutely right. We'll go to the bin sometimes too. And here I am like looking through all the clothing, and when we go to the outlet, and he'll be going into the hard goods section, and he'll come back with a bunch of steel looking things. And I'm like, what is that? He's like, this is a really expensive bike rack that you put on your car. And I'm like, okay. And he'll like flip it on Craigslist for $150, which pays for our whole trip. And I'm like, geez, you're so good at this. My word.
Right. Right. And you think about for yourself, you're like, wow, I would have to sell 7 pieces of clothing to get that
to get that same flip, right? And like, how long is it going to take me to sell those 7 pieces of clothing? Right, where he can flip it so quickly. I know. That's,
yeah, for
we just
sure.
have to pick and choose
I
our categories,
will
though.
Definitely go on some of those trips with him sometimes because he loves to do things together. But I definitely appreciate my clothing. I really love being able to go through clothing racks and shoes. I do also like shoes too.
I know. Same. Oh,
really?
Yeah, that's not my jam. Maybe no pun intended on the toe jam. It's not for me, but I wish it was, because as you know, the return on investment,
like, because
is great.
The return on investment's really good.
Yeah, I mean, you can get, especially if you're shopping at the outlet, like you mentioned. I mean, if you're picking up shoes for like $1, you know, and you're potentially getting, you know, depending on condition, I mean, anywhere from like $30 to $100 possibly on a pair of shoes, I mean, is pretty darn good, because you're not going to get those profit margins necessarily most clothing. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, in thinking about where your business is at today, and certainly 2020 has been a very challenging year. You know, I'm wondering, you know, what challenges do you feel like you're facing in your business right now?
I feel like 2020 was definitely, it kind of threw a unique curveballs that we wouldn't always see. But just learning not to get comfortable. I remember doing another interview at the beginning of the year, or maybe at the end of last year, and talking about how, like, I'm always going to shop at the Goodwill outlet. Like, it's the best value, love the bread and butters. And when I was faced with 2020 and everything closed down, thank goodness I had like a death pile, which now I'll never look at that as a death pile again. I'm like, that's my supply for the month. Like, we good.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about things closing right now. Like, I have inventory to keep going. So I feel like there was the challenge of, how am I suddenly going to do what I've always done with my business in a unique manner? And it pushed me into doing wholesale boxes. It pushed me into learning about pallets. And I always thought that'd be a really great idea, but it's still, I haven't purchased one. I've just been educating myself on like what to properly think of, what questions to ask, what, you know, and just kind of look at those different auction sites. But it was a benefit overall. And doing these wholesale boxes, I would get brands that weren't locally in my area. And so then I would see it flip quickly on my site. And I'm like, oh, okay, noted. Like, we're going to keep a look at that brand. And so then when we're going to some of these other cities, I can be like, oh, I didn't know about this brand before, but now I know how it does in my store. I'm going to pick it up. So it was that challenge. And then the other challenge was just the inconsistency of kids' schedules. So I really began to remind myself about, like I mentioned before, I'm a very like type A to-do list gal, like want to get things done. I can focus and like go hard on a piece of like project or work or what have you. But when you've got kids, like there is no like zero in on one focused thing. It's like you go to like take a photo of something and someone's screaming out of the other room because someone took the remote control, or someone took a toy, or someone just wants to cry to get the brother in trouble, or like there's always something. And then I get distracted and I'm like, okay, what was I doing? And so I learned in this year, I reminded myself about teaching myself a few years ago to have what I call a permanent flexible mindset. You know, try to create a schedule that feels like, okay, this is concrete, I can roll with this until I know about whatever unpredictability thing is going to happen. I almost like I schedule room for unexpected, basically, if that makes sense, just so that I feel like I'm good. Like I can keep working, this feels secured. Like, okay, a kid's crying and I need to take care of them. Like last night's a prime example. I was going to be posting something on Instagram and my daughter starts screaming downstairs. Well, she was doing what she wasn't supposed to. She's jumping on the couch, flipped over the couch, smack dabbed onto the ground. Nose was bleeding. She's saying her mouth hurts. And I'm like, everything stops. The world stops. Like we've got to take care of her and make sure she doesn't have a concussion. And, you know, and I just have gotten to a place now of knowing, like, when you've got kids, when you have, I mean, life is just unexpected. And when I can give permission right. for those things to happen, it allows me not to get frustrated in the moment and go like, oh, this wasn't a part of my plan. Like, I learned a long time ago to let go of my plan.
Right. I think the minute you become a parent,
you learn to let go of your plan. In that parenting 101 book, like, just forget your plans. They'll come back someday.
Uh-huh. The first chapter. Seriously. I know. Because it starts at birth plan. Am I right? Yeah. No, I think that you make a good point. I mean, you know, here I am comparing again kids. You have 8 children in your life. I have 1. But it kind of doesn't. And yes, 8 is certainly more than 1. But, you know, I think a lot of parents have faced that challenge this past year of having the kids home. You know, I think a lot of people's schools have closed. So the kids are in the home more. And especially if you've been running your business out of your home, and I have at times this past year, it makes it hard. And similarly to what you said earlier about, you know, the teenagers seeing that you're at home, but they don't realize mm-hmm. that you're working your business. That can be very challenging as well. You know, you're trying to stay productive. You're trying to stay on task. Certainly, we know in this job, the more work that we do, the more money that we potentially can make. And the mm-hmm. more that we're distracted not doing the work, it means the less money that we're going to make. So, yeah, I guess not really a question, more of a statement that I definitely can sympathize and agree with you.
Can relate.
I think that's probably a lot of the people listening as well. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Well, you know, you touched on it a little bit about ordering wholesale and thinking about liquidation in the future, which kind of ties into my next question, which is, you know, where do you see the future of your business going? And I know we're in very unpredictable times right now, but you know, I'm not sure if you've done any like goal setting, whether written down or just thinking out loud between yourself and your husband about the business for this next year. Yeah. I'm just curious, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. What thoughts and it you is have. Actually something we've talked about. Our birthdays are like, his is the end of September, mine's the beginning of October. And so we always kind of take that moment to be like our New Year's resolution time, actually. And so by the time we get to 2021, we're mm-hmm. already going to be a quarter in. And so we really started to take a look at, wow, like what we made last year versus what we've made so far this year. Like we have, I think it was like 5x the amount, like quadrupled the amount of money that we made from last year because of the little extra effort we were able to do. And that was amidst 2020. That was amidst kids being home. That was amidst improvising and trying to learn different ways to find our inventory now. And I'm like, wow, there really is so much to this business, and it really can go wherever you want it to go. And so for us, we will for sure be doing pallets next year. I'm so excited about that. And I know how difficult it was to be able to go into a thrift store and throw like $100 at inventory before, or even dare think about $300 or $500. Now I'm walking out of Goodwill sometimes spending $800. And like, it's definitely, times have changed. Like business has grown a little bit. And so the thought of being able to have pallets and potentially like create my own boxes for people who need inventory but can't afford to do that much, or live in the middle of nowhere and have no thrift stores by them, but they want to make this an opportunity. I want to be able to do something like that. Hiring a full-time employee is definitely, I've loved having my virtual assistant, but being able to help kind of offload some of the photographing and some of the listing, just some more of those little things that is a consistent daily thing. I would love to have someone here for that. And so at the moment right now, this is kind of my slow season, or my husband's slow season for work. And so he's helping me kind of at a part-time rate right now. And it's really given us an opportunity to kind of beta test this. Like, what would that look like? How should I create my tasks or, you know, systems, those SOPs basically, and be able to have something there. So when we do hire an employee, we can say, okay, this is kind of our routine. This is how we roll with things. He's helping me with that right now. And in being able to kind of offload what really anyone can do, it's going to allow me to kind of focus on the things that only I can do. And that being said, I have always had a love and passion for YouTube and the ability to keep teaching people. I get questions all the time on my Instagram now. And there's so many points where like, I wish I just had a video to revert people back to, because I'm answering the same question over and over again. And so I am definitely gonna devote some more attention to that this year or this coming year. And then my last thing is, as we've grown this business, I want to start diversifying that income. You know, we're really at that profit place, and a millionaire does have 5 to 8 streams of income. And so I'm mindful of that. And, you know, God forbid something happened to my Poshmark store one day, or something glitch happens to eBay, which not as uncommon. Right. It does happen. Where we do see these ebbs and flows, or like you mentioned before, that you could see high months and low months. Like, if you have other streams of income assisting with those, it doesn't ever feel like that. You can have kind of that even keel. So those are kind of the things. That was a lot, but yeah, I told you we thought about it already.
No, that was great. No, that's great. I mean, that literally, I feel like I just went over like your to-do list for 2021 with you.
Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get back on track with my last question. So my last question for you, Ashley, is what advice would you give yourself when you're first starting out?
I feel like when I was first starting out, I was really quiet about what it was that I was doing. Having been a part of other business ventures, my perspective was, I'll let the money do the talking. And just kept really kind of nose down and was just doing my work. But I guess I would tell myself, it's okay to be happy about what you're doing. And it's okay to let that shine. It's okay to, like, I give you permission basically to talk to people about it and share that excitement. Because the more that I've done that now, people have been like, I had no idea you were doing this. And I've had people in my community like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe the amount of money or how many sales you've gotten, or, you know, like all these different things. And I'm like, I had no idea, like, you would be excited about this. And it's brought up some really great conversations with people. And I just feel like for so long, I wanted to hide it because I just didn't want anyone to steal my joy.
And when you say steal your joy, you know, what do you mean? Like, what was your hesitation?
Yeah. So having been a part of like other business ventures, I feel like it's so easy to have a dream that, like, when you start, you get really excited and you're kind of in like that honeymoon phase. And if you have someone who kind of comes very early on and is like, that's dumb, well, that's not going to really amount to anything. Or, you know, like, I think I was afraid of those statements that I just quietly did my own thing. Like, that's why I created my Instagram that was reselling related, and absolutely, like, no one in my community was following me on that one. I just, like, I wanted to have fun and enjoy it, but I didn't want people who knew me be like, you're doing what? Like, definitely had that worry. And I knew I had so much fun and love doing what I was doing that I just didn't want to have to deal with those comments. And so I know at one point it was a protection. And I think early on that was necessary, but oh gosh, I kept that quiet for probably a good year and a half. Like, it was pretty quiet. And that's where I say, like, it's okay to be happy about what you're doing and just really let that joy shine. Cause I think sometimes when you do have a love for something, that will show. And people aren't just gonna be like, well, that's dumb. You know what I mean?
Right. Did you, you know, at any point in these past few years of your journey, did you get that? Did you experience that pushback that you were afraid of?
No, I think that if anything, people wanted to understand how I was making that money and thought that was really cool. But that's the beautiful thing about, I mean, I would actually say about 2020, like the year we live in, is it is common for people to sell things online. It is common for people to understand Amazon. I can't tell you how many people I've asked, like, hey, did you know that when you buy off of Amazon, you're really probably buying from a small business? They're like, what? I thought I was buying from Amazon. I'm like, there you go. And so I feel like it's mm-hmm. really brought a really great conversation about to show that this is just kind of the way of the future when it comes to small businesses. We still do have brick and mortars, but we're seeing a lot of those closing right now because of just COVID and the dynamics. And so there's more commonality around right. like working from home. There's more understanding and acceptance around selling stuff online. And so I feel like it was okay to give myself permission to talk about it sooner than I had. And I've also had people give me stuff because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best part. The minute you tell people you're a reseller, they're like, do you right. want some of my clothes or my things or whatever it is? And it's always a mixed response, though, because I'm like,
yeah, no, it's like that depends. Like I had one of my friends in the investment world. Her uh-huh. mom is also an advisor. And she was like, hey, I've got stuff from work. I've lost weight. Like, do you want it? And I'm like, well, I know who you are in the investment mm-hmm. world. I was like, so, yes, I do.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I know. It's like if you kind of like it's one of those like terrible superficial moments where you kind of size them up and down and you're like,
Yes,
or I do want what you have.
Like influencers, and they, you know, do a lot of different things with fashion. And so I'm like, I know you're turning over clothing. And I was like, let's talk.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yes, yeah. Have you ever done consignment for anyone?
That's been fun. It's taught me a lot about like men's high-end clothing. That's a fun one. I have learned so much about men's designer now. Mm. And even my oldest daughter, mm-hmm. has been in kind of the New York, New Jersey area, and her and her boyfriend have been home for Christmas, and I've been seeing some of the brands they're wearing. I'm like, that's an expensive hoodie you're wearing there. And so it's been like a cool conversation that we've had, and even they've been like, you know, hey, we've got some stuff that's obviously designers that I've also worked in consignment with before. They're like, if you want to do consignment, I was like, yes, please, because I know that those are going to generate a high income. If it's like consignment and they're wanting to right. provide me with Forever 21, it's definitely not worth it, or Victoria's Secret.
Right. You're like, no, you can donate absolutely. Those ones to me. And then I'll look through it yes. and
take it to Goodwill or do ThredUp. I mean, I know there's so much about ThredUp right now, but I'm like, if it's yes. something that I don't really care to, you know, deal with, if I get a couple cents off of it, I'm totally fine with that.
Yes, exactly. I mean, if you're going to donate it anyways, you know, maybe just send it to them. If you don't want it back.
Yeah,
you don't want to pay for that return insurance fee. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ashley. This has been such a fun conversation. And I feel like I've gotten to know a little bit more about your journey these past few years. And I can't believe it's only been a couple of years, because I feel like, I don't know.
I know.
I feel like I've been watching you on Instagram for like forever.
Throughout the timeline this morning, because it seemed boggling to me too. I was like, I could have sworn it was like 2015, 2016. I'm like, no, it was 2017. So
right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed this conversation too.
Hey there, thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast, and there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Ashley for being on this week's episode of the podcast. It was so great getting to speak with you about your journey, and for me to be able to learn where it started, and more exciting to hear where it's going in this next year. I think there are big things ahead for you, and I'm very excited. Again, you can find Ashley on Instagram and Poshmark under the username Ashley Wheeler of 8, and all of that information will be in the show notes for you.
Well, here we are. It is the big holiday week. This, I think, Friday or Saturday, to be honest with you. I don't even know my dates anymore. Life of a reseller. Will be Christmas. So it's been a challenging time right now for a lot of sellers, you know, getting our packages to customers on time. We know that the USPS has been working as hard as they can, and we so appreciate their work. Hopefully you're able to take some time this week and relax and enjoy being with friends or family or whomever keeps you company. I'm sending you all of my best holiday wishes, whatever you celebrate. But in the meantime, keep on listing and keep on selling.